Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to another edition of the program, Dare to be Different. Just wonderful to have all of you tuning in, whether it's via the audio streaming, Midway 1540 Satellite Islam, and on the DSTV 826. And we have some beautiful weather this morning, bit of cloud cover, and it is definitely welcome. In some places we've had some rain, but not widespread, and we are looking and scanning the skies and hoping that we have some rain later this afternoon. And whilst we talk about rain, we know that in the Western Cape, they really, really dire need rain, and they're trying all measures. All sorts of steps have been put in place to conserve water. And whilst having said that, remember that we should still continue conserving water. We do know that South Africa is a water resource, a scarce, you know, water is a scarce resource. It is a, resource that we've got to treasure and we've got to look after. And many of us have forgotten some of the lessons that we've learned in the last season, but it's not too late. We can always go back and remember, if you are watering, to take into account that you water with a water can, that you do not just let the hose, water running and guzzling out, but you do take care of this precious resource. Now, this morning we've got a wonderful guest, and she always leads so much, and I must say, every time I listen to this person who is on air with us, she brings so much information and wealth of new knowledge, and that's none other than Ariana. Now, Ariana comes and she's, shared some wonderful advice at the beginning of the season, and that is most appropriate that we chat to her now. And she's going to, add to our knowledge and share with us further things that we could do in our garden, and also take us on this particular journey. Hi, good morning, Ariana. How are you?
Good morning, Ismail. I'm fantastic, thank you. The rain is on its way, so I'm feeling very good this morning.
Thank you very much. Why you say the rain is on its way? Are we talking about rain for the whole week, or are we talking just about later today, Ariana?
It's going to rain later today, quite a bit, but I think from about Wednesday onwards, we're going to receive more rain. And I also believe our season of rain coming every week is on the go. It's coming.
Well, we are truly, that's very good news for us. All of us are highly elated to know that we are having a rainy season is back with us. But whilst having said that, Ariana, we know that we've learned lots of lessons, and many of us are still unmindful that we're in a water-stressed country. Is that right?
That's right, yes. People don't really know how to use water. And also, I think the first place where they don't use their water is in their garden. But gardeners to garden is so expensive these days that you can't just throw away everything. So I think it's really good to spend some time and maybe money on how you do your gardening. I think that's the most important thing these days. We don't need so much water if we garden correctly.
Having said that, I know you've got some very, very good ideas of how you can water, how you can garden and save water, and I know you're going to share some of those wonderful tips with us. Now, before we go on to doing that, we also have the weather patterns. We've had these six, we've come into a season with very hot weather, and then we had very cold, unseasonal cold weather, and then we had weather again warming up and so forth. So we have the business of topsy-turvy, and this does stress the plants, but it adds a lot of other challenges to gardeners. Is that correct?
Yes, Ismail, and it hasn't stopped yet, I believe. I looked this morning to what is coming this coming week, and I saw something like 12 degrees again. So yes, we're going to have another week of cold weather following up by very hot weather. And the plants don't really like that. They can't really handle it. So yes, although we don't have enough water, we also have this up and down of the temperatures. That's not very good for our plants. And the only thing that it brings onto in your garden is diseases and pests. So we really have to look out. So my first idea to use less water and also to help the plant against diseases and pests is the word mulch. Now, not everybody understands what mulch is and what mulch does to your plants. Now, mulch is any thick layer that you can put onto your soil. And if I talk about a thick layer, I would say anything between 3 and 5 centimeters deep. Now, this will cost you a lot if you have to go out and buy it. So I would say go out in your garden and see what you can use. Something like your old grass clippings, your brown glass clippings. Put a thick layer of that over your soil, but please don't use the green glass clipping because that takes nitrogen out of your plant to break down. So grass clippings is very good. Another thing that you can use is old fallen leaves that you put on your soil. Or then if you have to go out and buy something, find some bark chips. Not everybody's bark chips is as expensive. Somebody, there is places out there that sell bark chips that is cheap. Even go to your municipality, to the park area, and ask them if they don't have bark chips to give to you. Most of the time they do have. Through the years I remember, I always got from them. I'm not so sure if they still got, but yes, maybe we must go and try. Bark chips is very good for that use. Then you can also go to the corporation and you can go and buy some lucerne, or you can buy some straw and put that on it. That straw is not very expensive. But anything that you can put on the soil to make sure that the water doesn't go out with the sun shining on your soil. And just to make sure that your plant and your microbes in your soil receive a little bit of shade. Our biggest problem with diseases is when the sun is shining directly on the soil and it actually burns the top growth of the roots, and also it kills off your microbes in your soil, and then your soil becomes very compacted. And they die off at the end, the microbes die off, and then you end up with diseases like mildew and black spot.
Thank you very much. So we're now talking about mulch, and mulch is any thick layer, and many of us would, or I've read somewhere that's, that, you know, when you talk about, you know, oil is regarded as the black gold, and mulch is regarded as the green gold. Is that correct?
Although it's brown, yes.
Yes,
that is definitely it. And you won't believe how much lesser problems and lesser diseases that you will have in your garden when you do use mulch. So yes, although it's going to take some money out of your pocket, at the end you don't have to buy a bottle of pesticides or fungicides. So it really helps.
Okay, now when you talk about mulch, and I know we've done this and over, but we still have people who do seem to have, you know, the wrong practices in their garden. Now, besides, you know, mulch like the dry leaves and whatever else we've spoken about, what about living mulch, where you take, you know, small plants and they grow in between? And what about the hard, you know, the hard mulch, for example, stones and things like that? Does that help as well?
Let's start with stones. Yeah, people put a lot of stones these days on their soil, but I think they must go out and feel the heat of the stone when it's 32 degrees. Stones all depends on what is inside the stone. Is your stone containing iron, or what mineral is inside of your stone? They can heat up very, very much, sometimes even more than the soil. And then you also burn down all your microbes in the soil. So I won't say that stones is the best thing to use. To use plants, and I'm talking here now about ground covers, that is also very, very good, because ground covers actually cover the soil, and then they've got a very lots of hair roots and roots in the soil that increase the microbe system in your soil. So I would say if I could choose between stones and your ground covers, I would rather choose ground covers. That is much, much better. I think the cheapest material to go and source is really your straw. I think that is going to be the cheapest.
Thank you very much. Now, Ariana, when we talk about mulch, and you said mulch has got a number of benefits, and amongst them is, you know, the microbes don't die off. That's number one. And, of course, it keeps the good hohos and insects within the, you know, in that environment. And now, are there any other, you know, besides the mulch, is there anything else that we've got to be careful, or that any other watch point that we have at this time? We now know the unseasonal, we're having temperatures, and temperatures are going to drop again, like you say. So mulch will keep the ground warm, is that correct?
That's correct. It keeps it warm when it's cold, and it keeps it colder when it's warm. So it's actually a regulator.
So the mulch is a regulator. So the first thing we've got to do is the mulch. So do those who are looking at pristine and, you know, sweeping away all the leaves and sweeping all the clippings, remember to leave them, because it's definitely going to help your plants grow. The next thing that we've got to look at this time, because now, Ariana, when you looked around, we look at some of our leaves and some of our plants, or we see that there's a lot of holes in them, and that is due to the nasties that are in the garden, some of the hohos that have come in and have become destructive. Is that correct?
Yes, there's a lovely night beetle coming out after 6 o'clock in the evening, and it eats round circles out of your plants. They start with the roses, then they go to the beans, and later they eat the whole garden, but they only eat at night. Now, there's not really anything that you can use to kill them off. Because they're sleeping in the soil during the day, and they've got grubs inside of your soil, and they're only coming out after 6 o'clock in the evening. So for me, the best thing to use is to hang mothballs in your garden. So let's say you've got a rose where they're busy eating, take a small money bag with three holes at the bottom, and put about 3 or 5 mothballs inside of the money bag and hang it up in the top of your rose. Because they always come out at 6 o'clock, they go up, they fly upwards, sometimes they go and sit on top of your roof, and then they come from the top down and they start eating on the softer leaves first. So when you've got a mothball hanging there in the sun, that smell of the mothball goes into the air and they don't like it. I would say that is, except a pesticide of Kaba dust and Bexa dust, that would be the best to help keep rid of them.
Sorry, just repeat it. So what would you do with that, the Kaba dust and the...
If you use Kaba dust or Bexa dust, you would put that, it's a fine powder, you would put that in the evening over the top leaves of your rose. And then when they eat it, it kills them off.
And where would you get this Kaba dust or Bexa dust? Is it toxic or not toxic for humans?
You know, it is always toxic. Any pesticide is toxic, although you won't die when you touch it. But I don't believe in using any pesticides, because I know that whenever you use a pesticide, there is also a hormonal change inside of your plant. And that hormonal change actually gives off more sugar inside of your plant. So you will have more pest just because you've used pesticide. Yes, it's not really toxic for men, but I don't like using it because of the hormonal change inside of my plant, and it actually brings in more pests into my garden if the hormones of my plant change to sugars.
So where would you buy this Kaba dust or Dexter dust? Would that go? Would you buy it from any fair garden center?
Yes, you can buy it from any garden center. You can buy it from a builder's warehouse or any of the shops that's keeping these stuff. Bexa dust, not so easy to find, although it is the best to use. Kaba dust, I think you can find anywhere.
I've got a question coming through. This is, can you use sawdust as mulch?
Yeah, that is a very good question. If you're living in England or somewhere else, I would say fantastic. If you're living in South Africa, where most of our sawdust is from the pine trees, I would say not so good. The reason for that is pine tree sawdust is very toxic. So there is some toxins that can come off and go to your plants. Although I've got a way of getting rid of that toxic matter, and that is by pouring some molasses water over it. So you go and buy ordinary molasses from your shop. It's normally standing next to honey. And you make it into a quarter cup of molasses into 9 liters of water, and you pour it over the sawdust, and then it breaks down the toxins inside of the sawdust, and then you can use it.
How long do you have to leave the sawdust aside? Is it about a week or 2 weeks for it to break down, or can you use it almost immediately?
I would say put it on your soil and pour the molasses water over. You can even pour the molasses water over every month if you want to. It just helps it to break down quicker. So you don't have to keep it on site and put the molasses on first before you go take it to the garden. You can put it directly onto the garden and then use the molasses water.
Thank you very much. So that is, if you have, and you're sure that it comes from pine trees in most instances, that is where most of our sawdust would come from. So quarter cup of molasses to 9 liters of water, you throw it onto your soil and let it help break down the toxins in that particular sawdust. Let's go on now, you know, let's talk about the other nasties, the hohos that we still have. There's a lot of other hohos that we still have. Let's talk about some of those.
Okay. There's one hoho that is on the gardenias these days. We call it the stink bug. It's quite a big bug, and it eats your gardenia up till there's nothing left. Then it goes to your roses, and it goes to other plants as well. The moment you touch this bug, it's a stinking thing coming from it, that's why we call it the stink bug. Yes, that is another one that you can use, Bexar dust or Karba dust, but also when you do have it on your gardenia, also hang your mothballs. It keeps them away. So yes, go out in your garden and wherever you see some big hojas, hang mothballs. It is such an excellent way of getting rid of all the big hojas in your garden. And another thing that I am using with big hojas in my soil is by pouring my molasses water over my soil. Even if you've got lots of snails or slugs, it takes them away. And even if you've got a lot of ants and termites and mole crickets in your grass, use your molasses water. People think that molasses water is a sugar, so it will actually bring in more hojas. That is actually just the opposite. The moment you pour molasses water over your soil, the molasses water attracts a lot of bacteria from the air, and the hoja knows that the bacteria is coming after its eggs, and it's actually destroying its eggs by eating it. So, yes, use molasses water a lot over your soil, and you will have lesser amount of slugs and snails, and also you will have more microbes in your soil. So it's a double help for you when you use molasses water.
We're going to go just for a short commercial break. When we come back, we want to continue with this conversation. I've got an interesting question coming through.
Thank you, Ismail.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to another additional program, Dear to Different. My name is Ismail Viriyava, and I know that we have a wonderful, wonderful guest with us. And all of you, wherever you are, whether it's the idea on the DSTV, Satellite Islam, Midway 1548, or listening to us via audio streaming, in our company, and many of you still out. Beg your pardon, some around the breakfast table, some in the garden already, and lots of activities happening at this particular time of the year, so many of you are on your way. Remember, you can join our conversation, number to dial this morning, 854-1548, and we've got a wonderful guest, it's Ariana, and she's sharing so much with us this morning. Hi, good morning, Ariana.
Hello, Ismail.
So, I mean, one question coming through about live and let live. Somebody says, don't you think we should just leave the hojas? They also have to live with us.
I believe that myself.
Okay.
Yes, you know, they're part of the whole ecology system. We can't kill them all. They're there for a reason. But the moment they become a pest, then it's something to worry, because then there is a disturbance in your ecology. So if you've got a few ants, that is no problem. But if they're totally becoming a pest and start eating your grass, then it tells you something. It tells you that the microbe system in your soil is dead or not alive. And it actually tells you that your ecology system is not correct. So it all depends if they're just there or if they are there as a pest.
Thank you very much for that. And we've got a couple other questions coming, but let's go and continue with. We now spoke about the mulch and the microbes and so forth, and we've got to talk about these hochos. And the question about molasses, is it always a ratio of a quarter cup to 9 liters, or do you have different ratios for other uses?
It doesn't really matter what amount you put in. There's nothing that can burn from it. There's nothing wrong if you put more in. Doesn't really matter. Some molasses that you buy is very thin consistency, and the others is a very thick consistency. It doesn't really matter.
And so it has no harm at all to the plants. It's one of those. Well, you know, I said to you that, Ariana, whenever you talk, I think I've only heard you who, you know, encourages molasses. I'm not sure so it's widespread. Can you tell us the reason for that, perhaps?
You know what? There is a lot of other stuff also that you can use, but I'm always thinking about cost for the gardener, and I'm also thinking about natural uses for the garden. I believe that whatever you put in your garden, you must look out for your microbes. So if something helps your microbes to die off, I'm against that. But if you use something that is increasing the microbes in your soil, I'm for it. Now, molasses is just for it for me.
Thank you very much. Another question coming. I've got a lot of scilla in my on my plant. What can I use? Would the moth balls help?
The moth balls will help, yes. It helps that the insect can't fly onto your lemon tree and put more eggs inside of your leaf. But the scilla that is already there is an egg that has been laid inside of the leaf. So you can't get rid of it with mothballs. That you have to cut out. But if you hang up mothballs, you will see that the insect won't come near to put more eggs inside of your plant. So it does help for that. I know we've only covered the bigger bugs and stuff at this moment and not the small ones, and I know there's a lot of the small ones out there, like Australian woolly bug and white fly. With the heat that we had this week, there's lots of red spider mite out there. So, yes, the smaller insect is totally different. Your moth ball will deter them a little bit, but not so much. I've got another way of treating them.
Okay, let's go over that, because I know there's lots of people who are asking those questions as well. So let's see what we can help them with.
Yes. If you've got your small ones, the small insects like your white fly, your red spider mite, your normal aphid on the roses, they are there because they like the sugars that is inside of your plant. Now, what is that sugars? It is the growth that happened today or yesterday. When a plant is growing, it produces sugars. And the small insect loves that. And there's actually a way where a plant is telling the insect that he's got sugars to eat. So the plant and the insect connect with each other. So the moment there's too much sugars, there is aphids, there is red spider, etc. Now, if I can turn that sugars to proteins inside of my leaf, you will find that the pests stay away. The aphid can't eat proteins. The red spider might as well not. So if I can turn the sugars in my leaf to proteins, that will keep them away. Now here is a recipe out of your kitchen that you can use to get rid of the sugars inside of your plant. It is as follows. You take 5 mL, it's a teaspoonful of Scrubs ammonia. Now, not everybody knows Scrubs ammonia, but it's standing in your shop next to all the cleaning products to clean the house with. It's just a see-through thing. It looks like water, but when you open it, you can't breathe again. So when you spray this on your small insects, it totally kills them off. So it's 5 mL of Scrubs ammonia. Then you put with it 15 mL of Epsom salt. Epsom salt is your sulfur plus your magnesium, and it's excellent to turn the sugars of your plant into proteins. And then the third medium that I put with it is 15 mL of apple cider vinegar. Apple cider vinegar also filled with lots of minerals that turns the sugar into your plant into proteins. You mix this with 1 liter of water and you spray it on your leaves of your plant. You can spray it 3 times a week if you want to, because our plants are growing quite a lot now, so there's a lot of sugars out there. And every time you spray it on the leaves, it turns the sugars inside of the plant into proteins. And proteins is a poison for any small insect.
Thank you very much. Let me just repeat it. So it's 5 mL of Scrubs ammonia, 5 mL of Epsom salts, and 5 mL of Scrubs ammonia, 15 mL of Epsom salts. 15 mL of apple cider vinegar to 1 liter of water. Now, let's just break it down for other people. So 5 mL will be equivalent to 1 teaspoon of Scrubs ammonia, 3 teaspoons of Epsom salts, and 3 teaspoons of apple cider to 1 liter of water. You give it a good shake, and then you spray it onto all your leaves, and that would kill the hohos and turn the sugars into protein.
That is right. There's only one thing that they must remember. You never spray that when the sun is shining on your plant. So you either spray it before 8 in the morning or after 5 in the evening. Otherwise, it will burn your plant.
Okay. The reason for that, again, is just to break down the sugar content so that it doesn't attract the hohos and it turns into protein, which is harmful or poison for these little hohos.
That's right, and it will kill them, but it will also send out a message to them out there that there is poison inside of this plant.
Okay, so that is good for any small hoho, and it doesn't matter. Just a question coming through, would this be good enough for our leafy crops that we eat, for example, the lettuce, the spinach, would that be good enough or not?
Yes, there's nothing wrong. People think that the ammonium, the Scrubs ammonium, is not good to eat because of the smell of it. There's nothing wrong with it. Ammonium is actually a nitrogen, so it helps your plant to grow better. And the Epsom salt, like I said, is magnesium and sulfur, also help your plant to grow better. And at the end, if you spray this on your leafy vegetables, you will find that you don't eat sugars anymore, you start eating complex proteins in your leafy vegetables when you use this. So it's very good for you.
Thank you very much. So that's a recipe for killing off insects, and you've given us a recipe for, the molasses, and that is for the bigger plants.
That's right, yeah.
So that one really was for the bigger insects, I beg your pardon, and that is a 1/4 cup to 9 liters of water.
That's right, Ismail.
Okay, and then do you have to make this freshly every time you do it, or can you keep it aside, and then, or the day you make it, that's the day you use it?
The day you make it, you use it. That's very important. You never mix anything that is chemical and leave it out there for the next day, because the chemistry with oxygen in it, it will totally destroy it.
Now, I know you've always advocated that the soil is so important, because what the roots, you know, take up from the soil, eventually with the food that we are going to, you know, eat, that's what's going to be the ultimate result. So to ensure that you have the right proteins and so forth in the soil. Before we go on, we've got a call online. Let's just take that one. Assalamu alaikum. Please go ahead.
Uncle Ismail, just ask the guest. I got the lavender plant to put into a hanging basket. What do I put in the containers?
You talk about the soil? What you want to put into the soil?
The soil, or you get that,
she wants to have a soil mixture to plant it in. Am I right?
Do I have to put a soil mixture, or can I just plant it in the hanging basket?
No, you've got to, you can't just plant. How is it going to survive? You need some medium.
Okay, or do I have to put that other brown sacky like?
Okay, you're talking about the coir. You're talking about that. Okay, let's check with that. We'll ask Ariana to help us with that one.
Yeah, and she was saying it must put the Epsom salt in the bigger plants like. The lemon tree and the roses, because my roses are thriving, but they all have got holes on the leaves, and are in the leaves as well.
Okay, so we'll ask you for that. Okay, so you've got holes in your leaves, and that's on your rose leaves, and which other plant?
Arundhati.
Okay, thank you very much for that. We'll try and see if we can help you with that.
Yeah.
Right. You've heard the question, Ariana. The caller wants to know about, you know, what medium should she use. Now, these days when you go into the garden centres, you're spoiled for choice, and amongst them is something that comes, you know, the coconut pea. Do you get the pea, you know, the coir one?
That's right, yes. Right. Isma, I am doing a lot of hanging baskets, and the problem with your hanging baskets is the drying out of your medium. You really have to water them every day if your medium that you use is not correct. Now, I am mixing my own mixture these days to make sure that my hanging baskets don't dry out too much. So I will give her my mixture that I am using, and maybe she can use that, because you can't just buy the lavender plant and put it in the hanging basket, because it's a total different medium, a hanging basket, than the soil. So I would really ask her to use the following stuff as a mixture for hanging baskets. I use a third potting soil, and then I mix with it a third vermiculite. If you can't find vermiculite, but you can find it in all the garden shops, you can maybe use perlite. It is the white one. And then I use with it a third of the palm peat block, or the coir that you just spoke about. So it's a third of each. I mix that together, and then I put my plant in it, and I water it daily for the beginning. For the first 2 weeks, I water it daily. But I found that the most important thing of hanging baskets is that at least once a week, you have to dip it into water. So you take it off, and you let it stand in water for about 15 minutes. Cover all the plants with water so that the air bubbles can go out and the water can go in. For me, that is the best secret with hanging baskets, is once a week, dip it into water.
Thank you very much for that one. So it's a third of potting soil, a third of vermiculite of perlite, and a third of palm peat. You take the three and you make a mixture of that and that. Would that also be good enough, Ariana? Somebody wants to know for strawberries.
Yes, it's an excellent medium for strawberries. Very, very good.
Okay. Yes. The caller also wanted to know about the roses and the hulls, and she spoke about Epsom salts. What would you have? What answer do we have for that one?
Yeah, according to what I've heard, she's got a lot of aphids on her roses. Am I right, Ismail?
That's correct. That would be it.
Yes, so she can use that same mixture of Scrubs ammonia, Epsom salt and apple cider vinegar and spray it every second day on her roses until she sees that they're gone, there's nothing left. Then she can bring it back to once a week maybe, just to make sure that they don't come back.
That's an interesting question I've got that's come through on my WhatsApp, I beg your pardon, it's come through as an SMS. They've got a particular tree which I've got the Indian name for it, and it has a type of an Indian bean that grows on it. Now the person says there's a lot of white substance stuck onto the branches and looks like polystyrene balls. What is the remedy for that? Now that's an infestation. Is that correct?
Okay, it sounds like an infestation of some bug.
Well, I must say to you, sorry, just to cut an area, and I've seen this on a number of, it looks like small, tiny styrofoam,
white.
Yeah, and the other thing is it's not just loose, but it's stuck to the branches or the tree. What do you think, and how could we get rid of that?
Okay, what I think it is a bug that started eating there, but the moment any insect put its tongue through the stem or through the leaf of a plant, it needs to help the sap to come out, but most of the sap inside of the stem is very thick. So they put a toxin in with their tongue, and that toxin dissolves the sugar water inside of the plant so that they can get it out. But that toxin, what it also does, it opens that cell of the plant, and then the sugar water starts running out of the plant, and that is more something like a honey. It is a sweet sugar, and then the ants go after that as well. Now all plants is doing it differently, and I saw a lot of trees that starts developing this white, looks like polystyrene things, but it is the sap that's coming out of the plant that does that. I won't worry so much about that because it's just a sap walking out. What I would worry about is what is the insect that really did it, and to kill that insect off. So what I would do is, if I don't want to use any pesticide, I would use my molasses water and I would spray it on the bark and on the leaves of the plant to make sure that some bacteria from the air is coming in there, and the bacteria will at the end start eating the eggs of that insect that is doing it. So I won't worry too much about the polystyrene balls that's sitting there. That's just the sap coming out. But the real insect is the one that you have to kill off.
And then would the same remedy be, for example, quarter cup to 9 liters, and then you spray that, or is it a stronger formula?
No, you use that amount and you spray it on the stem wherever you see these polystyrene balls. I sometimes spray it where I see fungi in my garden, where there's mildew or something, and it helps to get rid of that as well.
And, question coming through, so from the way you understand is that you've got to break down the sugar so that the insects are not attracted, and that is broken down into protein, and once you have the protein you find that is poisonous and toxic for the insects and hawkers, and then they send a signal and they would then move away. Is that correct?
Yes, we're actually using the wrong word of breaking down. It's actually building. When a plant is growing, it develops sugars. And when it's growing more, it develops protein. So it's actually a further step in the growth of the plant. So it's actually not breaking down. If we had proteins and it breaks down to sugars, then breakdown would be the right word. But this is building on. So when my plant produces sugars, that is the growth of today, that sugars I must turn into proteins. And the proteins is poisonous for the small insects, while the sugars, it brings in the small insects.
Thank you very much, Arian. It looks like we're running out of time. If you've got any final recipe to share with us, you know, there's so much to talk about, and it's such a different insight into what you've given us. And it's about, you know, how can we build so that we have better quality of soil, so that when we have, we get a better quality of our crop, and that would, when we eat it, it would be beneficial for the health. Any other one that you'd like to share?
Yes, just a quick one specifically on the soil for what you want to eat from the soil is make sure that you've used gypsum. Gypsum is a type of lime plus sulfur. You buy it from the garden shops. Use a handful of gypsum over your soil and also scatter a handful of phosphates over your soil. Then you're sure that most of the diseases is not going to come into your plants that you want to eat. I find there's a lot of mildew out there on the pumpkins, etc. If you've got mildew on your pumpkins, start by spraying your normal milk. Unpasteurized milk. Spray that on your leaves, and the bacteria coming towards the milk will eat the mildew away from you. Another thing that I can't stop saying this time of the year, make sure that you put mulch on top of your soil to eat good food.
Thank you very much. So the handful of gypsum and handful of phosphate, you throw that onto your plants. It doesn't matter which one it is. An unpasteurized milk that you've got to use, and you spray that onto your plant. Thank you very much for all that information, Arianna. It's been so useful. And but what I would ask you, if you could perhaps share with us, is write it down for me. I'd get in touch and we'll talk about it. May I then put it onto our website so that our listeners have all of that information. But again, thank you for all this wonderful information, and you have a wonderful, wonderful week, and you've given us something to think about and how we can, you know, improve the quality of our soil. And there's so much. We'll chat again in the future. You take care, Arianna.
Thank you very much, Ismail, and to all the listeners, have a wonderful day today.
You take care. You have a wonderful day and the rest of the week, and you take care. Thanks, Dar. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
That was Arianna and Duvanagha, and she's given us some wonderful, I must say, to whenever Arianna talks to us, it's so much information that you don't normally get when you have other guests, and I enjoy it. It's an alternate and something that we should be considering in our garden. And before we sign off, that today is a number of activities, and one of the activities that we have is at the wetlands. It's out in Indonesia, it's an open day. We're encouraging people to come out to our wetlands, to come in, and our wetlands is one of the hidden treasures. We want to reclaim that, and we encourage all our listeners beyond the Indonesia area to pay a visit to that particular hidden jewel. And that's all from me until we, and then of course I've been reminded that Khadijatul Kubra has got an open day as well in the Southern Link Extension 9, and that is the home for the aged, especially for the ladies. So there is a wonderful opportunity to visit that particular center and also see how you could assist. That's all for me until we meet again, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.